This prayer in Ephesians 3 focuses on what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ has accepted us even as we are. We are loved with an inexhaustible love. And so our prayer is filled with thanksgiving and gratitude. The phrase, "I bow my knees before the Father," reminds me of that lovely communion hymn. I fall on my knees on the face to the rising sun. O Lord, have mercy on me. It is a prayer that is overflowing with hope and joy and power. It's one of my all-time favorite prayers. This is also a prayer of intercession for other people, a prayer for the spiritual well-being of this new young Christian community in Western Turkey. This prayer addresses something very deep within us, what the psalmist describes as deep calling to deep. Here the spirit pants for living waters. Here the soul longs for the living God. And here our hearts are restless until they find rest in God. Listening to these wonderful phrases, that you may be strengthened with all might through his spirit in the inner person, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you may be filled with the fullness of God by the power at work within us. This prayer acknowledges that the really important issues are matters of the heart, the soul, the spirit. It's what's within us that matters the very most. Jesus said that from within the heart come all manner of evil. And he also said that eternal life wells up from within our hearts. So within us is a total universe. Heaven and hell, life and death, joy and despair, good and evil, all within us, either springs of cool water or cauldrons of darkness. Now, this prayer doesn't end with a note of mysticism, our inner journey. It goes on to say that that transformed heart changes the way we live our lives. We aspire then to be rooted and grounded in love, embracing this beloved community so that we love even as we have been loved. And Ephesians celebrates this good news that God has broken down the walls of hostility between Jews and Gentiles, between the rich and the poor, between male and female, a unity in the spirit of Christ's love never before possible. And the gospel creates the body of Christ that, quote, builds itself up in love. So the inner person is transformed in Christ to see that my spirit is joined with your spirit in serving the Christ who loves us all. Which brings me to the title of this sermon, What I Learned in Seminary. Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Who could have guessed that this seminary, founded on the north side of the University of Texas in 1903, would become such a huge part of my life and Dewey's life. Ever since we began the Master of Divinity program in 1972, Austin Seminary has shaped me spiritually, intellectually, politically, socially, like no other institution. Would you say the same, Dewey? After our graduation in 1975, I came back 4 years later to begin my doctoral studies in the New Testament, graduating in 1984. Then I came back to the well once again in the early 2000s and completed a course on the spiritual classics, ending that program in 2007. But from 1984 to 1990, I served University Presbyterian Church across from UT Austin and had many dealings with the seminary community. And I can stand here and say to you, in all honesty, Austin Seminary is my alma mater, my spiritual mother. Now, we all gain many things from going to seminary, as did Margaret and Russ as well. But three things stand out for me: knowledge, community and worship. First, knowledge. If you love to learn about the Bible, church history, polity, theology, pastoral care, Christian education, sacraments, preaching, justice, and social engagement, then the seminary is theological nirvana. And time does not permit me to thank God for all the tremendous professors who helped us navigate this huge waterfront of knowledge. I outlined them in the witness, but I failed to mention Dr. Henry Quinius, who taught us mission in the world. He once said this: if you're driving up, say, to Sandia Mountaintop, and you see some skid marks on the road and the barrier has been broken and clearly a car has gone off the edge of the cliff, you do two things: rescue the perishing and fix the damn road. His exact quotes. So evangelism and social justice go together, he would say again and again. Sometimes it felt like drinking from a fire hose, especially digesting Greek and Hebrew in these compressed courses. Oh my. Remember those days and nights, Dewey? Okay. But seminary is not just an academic ivory tower. Our prayer in Ephesians reminds us that the love of Christ surpasses knowledge. Or as Paul will later say, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. At that theological institution, we were reminded again and again that knowledge should lead us to love more fervently. The question that hovered all over all of our learning experiences was this: how will this knowledge help you serve better in the church and in the world? And always we were urged to become lifelong learners, always probing and questioning and thinking. And that's why we spent countless hours in our seminary's beautiful library. We came to learn. But we were always reminded that our knowledge needs to be serviceable to others. Our knowledge is not just for ourselves to become some kind of expert, but for others. We learn on behalf of others to serve others better. We give our minds to Christ so that our hearts might love him more fervently and our hands might serve him more gracefully. Now, my second takeaway from seminary was community. There are pictures in the administration building of past presidents and professors who remind you that generation after generation has been called to serve Christ. The seminary is truly a school of the church, a microcosm of the church. And that means you find there all kinds of fish. Indeed, both weeds and wheat. Pettiness of spirit as well as loftiness of spirit. Great saints, and I can assure you, great sinners. And now one of our classmates once noted that our class reminded him of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Rebecca Weaver was Snow White, the only woman in our class and clearly the smartest. And compared to her, we all look like the following: dopey, doc, sleepy, grumpy, happy, bashful, and sneezy. Rebecca Weaver went on to earn her doctorate and taught at Union Seminary in Richmond for many years. She really was Snow White. At Austin Seminary, we learn tolerance and acceptance of others, even those we may have disagreed with. Our New Testament professor, John Jansen, once prefaced an answer to a question with this immortal phrase: "It seems to me." And as I've told you before, that stopped me in my tracks. Dr. Jansen acknowledged that others may have different and very defensible viewpoints. And "it seems to me" expressed his willingness to engage, to disagree without being disagreeable. Dr. Jansen taught me not to jump to conclusions just because we might have intellectual disagreements. In our class, Lonnie and Buddy were just about as different as two seminarians could be. How they dressed, how they wore their hair, how they thought about theology and politics. Oh my, they were radically different, and sometimes their ideas sharply clashed. Remember, this was the era of the Vietnam War, Watergate, the Nixon resignation, the racial crisis, the beginnings of women's liberation and the ecological movements. Lonnie and Buddy disagreed about every one of those issues. I'm not kidding. Then word got around campus that Buddy's car battery died, and he had no money to replace it. So Lonnie, very quietly, went to the car parts store and bought Buddy a brand new battery. It was amazing. That random act of kindness changed the tone of our conversation. It helped us see each other not as opponents, but as sisters and brothers for whom Christ died. It started with that battery, really. And we learned that we could be rooted and grounded in love, not just ideology. Now, my third greatest takeaway was worship. The wonderful Gothic chapel at the center of our campus is now named after our homiletics professor and later president, Bob Shelton. There are two pictures of it in the fellowship hall. This lovely sanctuary was home for worship Monday through Friday. 3 days a week, we had 20 minutes of hymns and scripture and daily prayer. And twice a week, it was a one-hour worship. And on Thursdays, we had communion. I came to love daily chapel. It reminded me why I went to seminary, to encounter the living God and somehow to serve that gospel. And in those services, we witnessed a wide variety of worship leaders. We saw how things should be done and how they should not be done. First rule in worship leadership, this is not about you. This is about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Check your ego at the door. We heard golden-tongued orators and those who were not. We heard liturgists who sounded like James Earl Jones and those who sounded more like Daffy Duck. But they were all giving their gifts in service to the living God. The point was to worship, to lift our hearts and our spirits in gratitude to this amazing God who loves us with an everlasting love. Our spiritual life was formed in those worship settings, and there we heard again and again the call to preach the good news of Christ's reconciling love. Our prayer in Ephesians ends like this: to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We learned in seminary that worship was never about golden-tongued orators or silver-tongued liturgists or angelic musicians. It is all about giving glory to God and God alone. And in those acts of worship, we found our true selves, the meaning of our lives, and the clarion call to serve Christ with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love. To be filled with the fullness of God in order to fill the hungry hearts of people needing some good news in their lives. That's what daily worship meant to me. It is always about grace upon grace, mercy unending, and a love that will not let us go. It is always the call to serve the one who came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for others. Doing what fond memories of Austin Seminary we will always cherish. I am so glad I met you and Cherry there, and I'm so grateful for all of our professors and our classmates, so many of whom have joined the church triumphant. Austin Seminary will always remind us of the living waters of knowledge, the privilege of Christian fellowship, and the joy of worship. So to you, my brothers and sisters at Rio Rancho Presbyterian Church, may this congregation be that spiritual wellspring for you as well. Here may you learn of Christ, love your sisters and brothers, and worship the Lord with glad and grateful hearts. This is my prayer for us all. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Thanks be to God. Amen.